The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to another edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and this is another preview episode for the 2025 Swiss Pro Tricks. And I have the unique pleasure of sitting next to one of the most dynamic trick skiers in the world of water ski men's tricks. Coming to you from Chile, it is Matty Gonzalez. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Tony. I'm doing pretty good. Just arrived from Paraguay, competing there in Latin American tournament.
Okay. You had to drop that one in right from the get-go, just telling us that you just flown in from Latin America, just arrived however many hours ago?
Yeah, like an hour and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I competed yesterday in Open and Under 17. It was hard with the trip and everything, but I made it to this event, and I'm really happy to be here.
How does it feel to be one of the most traveled trick skiers in all of the world? Because, I mean, you're transitioning from Chile to Paraguay to this beautiful venue here in Central Florida. You know, it must kind of grate on you a little bit with the amount of traveling. I mean, do you get fatigued with that, or I mean, I don't know how. I mean, how does that play out for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, but I like this. The thing I like to compete, so I have to travel every part of the world. Yesterday in Paraguay, now here, and that's part of the sport.
Now you're going to have a busy season. I mean, not only this trick tournament, but you're probably going to Portugal. You're probably going to Morocco. You've got a whole slew of trick tournaments. Probably this is going to be like a real banner year this season for the tricks event. And on top of that, you get to compete in the World Championships in the U21. Over in Canada, and you've got the World Elite World Championships in Italy in the tail end of the season. I mean, how do you handle it?
Yeah, it's gonna be a long season. Hopefully, I can go to a lot of tournaments, try to do my best, try to win more events in tricks, and that's my goal of this year. And I'm trying to break the world record. There's like 3-4 guys we're trying to break their record. So that's part of my goal for this year, and I'm gonna try my best.
Now I mentioned this question, and I'm so glad that you raised the point with the world record, potential world record. But probably the more important goal is the one that takes you over 13,000. Now Pato, for his part, having interviewed him earlier, would love nothing more than to be able to redesign the graphic on his trick ski to say 13K. Are you going to be the guy that stops him?
I mean, we're trying for that. I'm trying that to be the first skier to break the 13K. It's really hard to connect both of my runs. In Paraguay, I connect two times of my hand run, but toe run, I missed my toe run. So it's been hard, but I think I can do it.
Excellent. And I mean, you're one of the very few skiers that have seen, you know, at least in the men's competition that tends to draw more upon your emotion going into this event. When you trick well, everybody knows it because you can hear the screaming of elation for about four miles going around the venue. If it comes off less than that, then you're just as emotional, you know. So let's talk a little bit about that, you know. I mean, because being able to trick at a high level is one thing, but being able to settle yourself down enough to be able to perform it on a consistent basis, that's another thing entirely, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think when I trick good, I mean, I have to be happy. I have to celebrate, like, for a tournament. But sometimes when it doesn't go right, it's part of the sport. I mean, it's part, if you want to keep going, you have to lose and lose and stand up again and try to continue. And that's when I go in the water, that's what I think. To, like, if I don't win this event, it's part of the sport. I mean, I have to go again and try, keep trying.
Kind of tell us a little bit about your routine, because I know I've seen you on the dock. You know, you've got the Apple headphones and everything to try and isolate yourself from probably me, especially because I talk a lot with the tricks and what the potential scenarios. I mean, obviously it can get into your head. So you solve that one with the Apple headphones. Thank you very much. And you know, those Apple headphones are so common amongst yourself and Pat O'Font and some of the others. Have you picked up anyone's headphones by mistake? You know, you picked up Pato's and he's picked up yours.
No, don't worry, it's not you.
I wouldn't begrudge you at all if it was me.
No, I hear music, like to if I'm on the dock, like, to don't hear anyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd like to be me, like, think about my skiing, but, like, try to relax a little bit. And, yeah, that's what I like, to, after, like, I'm on the dock and, like, last second, I'm going to take my headphones out and I'm going to jump in the water. And it really helps a lot for me, like, mm-hmm. like to concentrate me and everything. And yeah, one time I was using my headphones and I picked Tincho's headphones by mistake, and then he told me after that.
Yeah, because I can imagine that happening, and I'm glad that I raised it up, because I mean that those things are so, you know, were common. You know, I mean, you don't put your names on them or anything like that. You know, no. But I just wanted to just curious as to whether that's happened, but now you confirmed that it has at one time. Anyway, your competition. I mean, we talked about Pat O'Font. One competitor that's kind of like out of the situation right now is your good friend from Chile, Tincho, who injured himself both knees before the start of the season. Obviously, you'll be missing him as part of Team Chile with the World Championships coming up, and both the U20. I don't know if he's eligible to ski in U21, but he's very eligible to ski in the Elite World Championships. You know, how, I mean, give us your say on what he's possibly doing right now, and how much he's kind of missed from your competitive activity.
I've been talking to him a lot every day. Like, he's doing really good with his knee. He sent me a video. He's already on the bike. He's going really fast with the recovery, and I told him, like, all my wins and my podiums of this year is gonna be for him. It's really hard to compete without him. He's my best friend, and it's really hard to don't have him in the dock. Like, he gives us like extra motivation, and he's not here. But I'm sure that he's gonna be on the water, like, really soon.
Now, I spoke to Pato a little bit earlier on, and I actually asked him about the whole Latin American camaraderie, because whether you're from Chile or Colombia or Argentina or Mexico, you know, that you still cheer for each other and you still encourage you along. Talk to us a little bit about that, you know, because, I mean, Pato made some strong references to that deal, and I'm sure that you'll probably want to talk a little bit about that yourself.
Yeah, right now Latin America has really good skiers. Argentina, it's coming with a lot of new skiers that they're pretty good. Colombia always have a good team, and Chile we're having kids that are going really good. Tincho's brother, he's going really good in trick skiing.
Uh-huh.
And jumping too. He tricked 6K the 2 weeks ago.
And how old is he?
He's 11.
What?
Yeah.
6K, 11 years of age. Yeah, watch out for him, folks.
Yeah, he jumped 36 meters this week in Latino American Paraguay.
That's about 120 feet.
Yeah, he's skiing really good. He loves water skiing. And yeah, we're having a good level in South America.
I can imagine the conversations he has with his school friends, you know. And but let's talk about that. I mean, the kind of training regimen that you have, you know. I mean, because how old are you? You're
still 17.
You're 17. So you've got this U21, the next U21, and the U21 after that of eligibility, but. Obviously, trying to fit school in is very, very important to the whole makeup that you have, you know. So how does that go about? I mean, do you take some sets in the morning, go to school, go to sets in the afternoon, weight training, that kind of thing? Kind of give us a day in the life of Matty Gonzalez.
Yeah, when I'm here in the U.S., I normally ski at Picos with Corey and Adam. I love skiing with them. I wake up and I have a set, depends on the day, what time. Normally like at 8:15, a trick set. I normally do toes first, 15 minutes of toes, and then rest like for 30 minutes, and then go again like at 9, or depends on the day, and go for another trick set, hands. And then like slalom set, I slalom too.
Yeah, of course.
I slalom around 1:30, and in the middle of after tricks, I do like my classes and everything from Chile.
Yeah,
I do like my work of school and everything.
So you do virtual classes from yeah. Chile if you're over here.
Yeah, when I'm here, I do virtual classes, but when I'm in Chile, I go to school. I go.
Okay.
And then when I go back to Chile, I have to do all the exams and everything.
What's the first thing your school friends have to say, you know, like when you come back, where have you been?
Yeah, no, they think like I'm a new student, but I've been there in school.
No, but
like,
they've seen you on television, yeah. You know, at the Pan American Games and that
yeah,
kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, Pan American Games, they went, all my class went to the lake. They were really happy. We got them tickets to go to the lake.
Did some of them go to the closing ceremony as well? Because you were a part
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, a couple went to the closing ceremony.
Yes, and there's another Pan American type games that will be taking place in the middle of the season. That's one of the two events, the extra that you're going to be competing in on top of someone like Pato Font and anyone else, you know. It's the Pan American Junior Games.
Yeah, Pan American Junior Games. They're going to be in Paraguay, same lake. It's the same lake that we competed this week. It's a really nice lake. It's a new one. It's less than a year. It's the same lake like mine in Chile, same like exactly the same lake, and it's so.
And I've been to your lake in Chile. I mean, yeah. it is like heaven on earth. I would say, you know.
Yeah, it's really nice. So this lake in Paraguay is really good to ski. It's a new lake, so we're gonna have. We went in February for a tournament, like the first tournament of the lake, and now we came back for Latin American tournament. This week, and then I'm going back in August for the Junior Pan American Games.
And then 2 days later, the Elite World Championships.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard. But I'm not gonna be the only one doing that.
Yeah, I would imagine that there will be other competitors in the Junior Pan American Games type deal. So I mean, what's that flight going to look like? I mean, you would fly out of what city in Paraguay? Asunción or something?
Yeah, Asunción. The lake is not in Asunción. It's like 40-45 minutes from Asunción. It's called San Bernardino.
Oh, we're 45 minutes away from Orlando's International Airport. So, I mean, it's about that close. Yeah. So from there you go on to
probably going to back to Chile. It's 3 hours, 2.5 hours, and then Chile, Italy
there to yeah. Chile, Santiago to Milano.
Yeah, I don't think Asunción have straight flights to Italy.
No,
it's a really small airport.
I would imagine it's probably like as small as
yeah,
know Baton Rouge Airport.
I think he has only three gates.
Free gates?
Yeah, only like, yeah. Yesterday in the airport, I was in the airport. My flight was like at 1:50 in the morning.
Good luck getting a snack before you get on the plane.
Yeah, my flight was pretty late and I got to the airport like at 12.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be that early in the airport. But because it's really small.
And it's great to see water ski expand to some of the other other countries within Latin America. I mean, it's fully established in Chile.
Paraguay has a lot of new skiers. They're coming. They started skiing like less than a year ago, and they're skiing really good. Javier Julio is coaching them. It's the head coach of Paraguay right now.
Uh huh.
And Antonio Collazo, it's part of the Paraguay team right now, like training with them. They're going a lot to Paraguay to train, and Antonio Collazo is the homologator of that lake. He's almost living there.
Yeah.
So he's doing a great job with Javier, and the lake is really nice.
And there's the prospect of also the World Elite Championships, and obviously it's in Italy this year, and I believe it's in Australia the 2 years after. But beyond that, I believe a venue like in maybe Chile, maybe Argentina, or even who knows, this venue in Paraguay could be in the spot for hosting that. You know, for someone like you that is like really emotionally connected to like the Pan American, the Latin American cause of skiers, you know, that I mean, you would still relish being able to compete at that level at that tournament, at a tournament in Latin America, right?
Yeah, it would be nice to have a tournament like that in Latin America. I don't know when was the last time they did that, or I don't know if they done it before.
Well, in Latin America.
Yeah,
2013, yeah.
2015 in Mexico.
In Mexico,
yeah,
as
yeah.
well. And then,
that was the
then,
last time,
then you went to Paris and then to Malaysia and then Florida twice. And here we are, we're getting ready to go to Italy.
Yeah. Then the last time it was 2015 in Mexico, and before that I don't know. So it would be really nice to have it in Latin America again. I think there's a couple of good lakes to do it, so it would be really nice to have it. Paraguay would be really nice to have all the great skiers in Paraguay.
And you're going to draw some crowds as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, or if not in. Well, who knows, in Lago Valle Maipo, in my lake in Chile.
Oh, I would love to see that.
I would like to see you there, Tony.
Indeed. Tell us a little bit about your strategy going into this this competition, the Swiss Pro Tricks 2025. You've got two rounds to set a pace. Are you going to purposely go out there and just do a stand-up run that you can easily do in the first round and then like just... A run which you know will put you in the top eight to advance, will you go full tilt?
Yeah, I think first round I'm gonna try to qualify in the first one. I'm third to last, I think, so I'm in a good position for the first round. I think I'm gonna go easy with my run, maybe with my big run, but I'm gonna go easy, not to go fast. Then if I qualify in the first one, second round, I'm going to go try to, for the record. That's all the tournaments that I have right now soon. I'm trying for that record.
You're going full tilt.
Yeah. And then finals, I'm going to try to do a big run, and who knows, maybe...
No, but I mean, if you're on a starting dock and you're in first place after, and you have a score, I mean... You see the skiers coming before you, and they've come up with less than the performance that they would ordinarily do, at least based upon the first two rounds. Would you take one or two tricks out of your run, or go a little bit slower to do that effort, knowing full well that if you do, there's a better chance of you standing up and also getting just enough points that it will take to win?
Yeah, I think. If the skiers before me, I'm gonna know the scores before
yes.
me. So if they trick less or 12-1, I'm gonna go with my run, but I'm gonna go slow, like just to do up and back. I don't if I go fast, maybe I can fail or
yeah exactly.
So I'm gonna take my time. I know in Paraguay I trick with my big run. I first round I went pretty slow to just to make it finals, and I tricked 12.160 and without my tall line 5 because I fell on the tall line 5. So I think with Radvan it's 12.680, I think 12.660. So it's a big score, and with Radvan like slow and really good run.
And what was that tail wake line 5 back? Was it a standing tail wake line 5 back or out of rat?
No, the normal tail line 5 back. My run, it was like a tailwind, so I don't know what happened. I lost the rope and I did a bad tail line back to backs, and my tail line 5 was back.
I think we can hear a little bit of that tailwind blowing in across the wake. So obviously you're well acclimatized to that kind of deal out there. So let's put a bow on this podcast. Thank you very much indeed, Matilia Gonzalez, and give you a few more seconds on the microphone to give thanks and whatever else you want to say.
I want to thank all my family that they've been part of my career. My coach, Santi Correa, he's been there since I started skiing. Corey, that he's gonna be now on the boat for this tournament, and I've been training with him a lot.
And Josefina.
Yeah, my sisters, but Josefa, that she's here, and yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and she's encouraging you to get ready for your tricking ride, so I better let you go. Matty Gonzalez, we hope to see you feature highly in the Swiss Pro Tricks 2025. This has been an episode of the TWBC podcast, and until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.